Jesus, as we know, taught the apostles, his chosen followers, far into the night. What happened? They just didn't get it. I can speak from years of experience. The most humiliating thing for a teacher is to see your students just not getting what you're saying. You call in them, including my beloved Jesuit students in theology. They hardly even remember the words. Christ experienced opposition on all sides. What happened? Just think of the contrast between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Hosanna! Hosanna! The crowd shouted on Palm Sunday. And on Good Friday, crucify him! Crucify him! Hold his knees to be set. And there's one thing that Jesus Christ teaches us, is the fickleness of human praise. Christ was betrayed by his own followers, scourged and crowned with thorns. Why did he allow it? Because he is God. He wanted to make sure what limits he went to, that we understand what it means not only to reluctantly accept humiliation, but hear it today, 50 years and 70 days in the priesthood. As followers of Christ, we're not only to reluctantly accept humiliations, but seek humiliation. Sincerely welcome humiliations when they come. They go on. Christ's teaching on humility. Jesus mainly taught by example. Remember, when John the Baptist remonstrated with the Master on the shore of the Jordan, John couldn't bring himself to do it, to baptize Jesus. In effect, he asked Jesus, please, get out of the water. But Jesus told him, no, this is the way it must be. That's the way the prophecies about me are to be fulfilled. The prophecies tell us the Messiah was to be a suffering servant. We see his long years of subjection to two of his own creatures, Mary and Joseph, surely holy people, but they were creatures. And then, that unforgettable scene of the Last Supper, just before he was to undergo his passion. The one thing Jesus wanted to make sure that he got was a lesson in humility. He took a pan of water and a towel and started with Peter. Said Peter, not me, Lord. That's beneath you. Jesus told him, "But Peter, I don't wash your feet. You cannot be my disciple." "All right, all right. Use all the water you've got." Christ gave us one single imperative statement how we are to follow Him. "Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and then you shall find rest for your souls." To follow Jesus Christ, to carry His yoke, to be His disciple, there is no choice. Either we're going to be humble as the disciples, or no matter what vesture we may have around us, no matter what people may think or say about us, we are only as authentic Christians as we are humble. Jesus is not talking when He promises, "If we're humble, we shall find rest for our souls." He is not only talking about that eternal rest in heaven. I have yet to meet a proud, peaceful person. Proud people are worried. Proud people are disturbed. Proud people are restless. That's why the proud Sigmund Freud invented the quote-unquote science of psychoanalysis, what we now call psychotherapy. We shall be only as much at peace as we are humble in heart. And I'm speaking to everyone, beginning with myself. What a task we have to examine our lives and ask ourselves, how truly am I a follower of Christ? Judging by my preoccupation with so many things, how little it takes to disturb me, because I am still proud. Says Christ, "Whoever will be greater among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a redemption for many." Christ practiced superhuman humility. Why? To teach us, if we're going to grow in virtue, you must start with humility. There is no virtue which is not weakened, there is not diseased, which is not infected, unless that virtue is possessed in humility. And the more gifted we are, both in mind and body, and in God's grace, the more desperately we need to grow in humility. Says Jesus, "I'm in the midst of you as one that serves." Human beings do not like to be beholden or dependent on anyone. As parents know, a child of 3 years can have a very stubborn will. We don't have to learn pride. We are born with it. It is humility that we have to keep learning and relearning. And the great teacher and master of humility is God become man. May I suggest that at least once a day you recall what Christ told his disciples and is telling us every day. We ask ourselves, whose feet, symbolically speaking, have I washed today? Before whom have I allowed myself to be humiliated or lowered in that person's estimation? We go on. Our responsibility. The foundation for the following of Christ on his moral side is not only to practice humility, we are to grow in humility. Again, Jesus Christ is a model and inspiration for both the practice and the growth in this virtue. He is also the source of grace that we need to be able to become humble. The great Teresa of Avila defined humility in one short sentence. Humility is the truth. There are two parts to this meditation on the meaning of humility as truth. When is humility truth? When we think and act like we really are. We do not have, first of all, a higher estimation of who we are or what we can do than really and truly is the case. To remain in growing humility and following Christ, we must keep reminding ourselves of who we are. Who am I? A creature, except for the omnipotent love of God, I would be what I really am, nothing, absolutely nothing. Even as Christ revealed his own dependence on the Heavenly Father, he showed dependence on Mary and Joseph, and then dependence on the murderous Sadducees and Pharisees who already brought on his death. I strongly recommend that you decide on one way you can daily protect yourself from your pride. You from yours, I from mine. As we've said, you're all naturally proud. And the only way known to God and man for lessening our pride is to walk the hard, sharp road of humiliation. I know what I'm talking about. Welcome the humiliations in your life. Cherish them. Thank God for receiving them. Remember, the royal road of humility is paved with the sharp stones of humiliations. You don't have to go around asking people, I need more humility. Would you mind humiliating me? They might say, you idiot. Then you should say, thanks. I did not talk this way 32 20, even 10 years ago. That's the first meaning of our humility in the following of Christ, in not overestimating or overreaching ourselves. That's part one. But part two, there's another side to humility. Here again, the Son of God in human form is our perfect model to imitate. Humility also means that we do not underreach or underestimate ourselves. Whatever we are, everything we have is a merciful gift from God. We were nothing, and we are not. Except for God, we are not, however, because of God, nothing now. Except for God, we would be nothing, but God loved us, made us. We are not nothing now. We are children of God. We are loved by Him. We possess His graces and gifts, His talents and humilities. That hear it. God wants us to put constantly into practice. The hardest thing for most people is to balance these two forms of humility. Some people have almost an instinctive problem with the first kind of humility. They do not have much. Well, I know. This does not prevent them from finding something in themselves to be proud of. Other people, however, do not underreach themselves with the gifts that God has given them. We may be such persons. God never gives us anything to be stared at or hugged for ourselves. That is the fundamental meaning of charity. To put to use everything, every iota of God's gifts to us. We are to be channels of grace for others. I know what I'm talking about. We may be gifted people who do not use the gifts which God has given us. Always, of course, for God's and not our own greater glory. Always for the good of souls. Saint Bernard relates how on one occasion he was to speak to thousands of people. As he walked up the rostrum, he thought to himself, "Bernard, get down. You're going to preach to this multitude, so they will say, what an eloquent preacher this Bernard is." Says Bernard, he hesitated. Then he told the devil, "You liar, I do not prepare this sermon for my own glory. I will not be silent because you tell me I am proud of what people will think of me as an eloquent orator." Unquote Bernard. I've taught over the years too many very gifted people. as why I'm sharing this with you. The more gifted we are, the more talents and graces God has given us. There is none do what the man of the parable did, remember? Buried what God gave him. Christ the living God is a perfect model for the imitation that we need to practice in being humble. And humble twice over. Not overestimating or overreaching ourselves, but also not underreaching or underestimating ourselves. Sure, God did abase himself to the limit to teach us, proud creatures, the first meaning of humility. But Christ never allowed anyone to doubt who he really was. He did the will of his Father. He was faithful to what the Father wanted, even though it meant working astounding miracles. God wants to work miracles through us. I hope you hear me. And he will, on one condition. Every practice, both levels and forms of humility. I had various options on how to close this conference. I thought I should share with you the litany of humility composed by the private secretary of St. Pius X, Cardinal Mary Delvaux. How we need. I just finished a retreat to 65 lay women in Chicago at 1:30 this afternoon, and I'm speaking from Detroit. I distributed copies to all the ladies of the Litany of Humility. Hear it in our Lord's presence. We say it. Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, O Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Amen. Just one short prayer of my own. Mary, Mother of God, the humble handmaid of the Lord, ask your Son to work the miracle of grace to make us truly humble of heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.